is Pipcast.
Hello, my name's Craig Griffiths.
And I'm Justin Blackett.
And welcome to the sixth episode of Pipcast, a podcast for ODPs and the theatre world.
Craig, can you believe it? We're on episode six.
I know, I can't believe it. We're almost at Star Wars level of amount of episodes.
Amazing, that is really good. That's really good. And guys, I think the crucial thing we want to say at this point is thank you guys, the listeners, who are getting involved with us, because that's really important. This is completely and utterly for you guys, you ODPs and other people within the theatre world integrating with us. And we wouldn't have got here to episode six if it wasn't for you providing us feedback, comment and contributing along the way.
Yeah, thank you so much for all your involvement. We've got a few special thank yous for people who have been involved in our episodes over the last couple of weeks. Definitely thank you to Tony Jeremy for his fantastic recount of the SMAC conference. It was very kind of him to take out time of what was quite a fun sounding conference to come and talk to us about it.
And he's brought a lot of his followers along as well to listen to the Pipcast, and so that was really great, and that's opened doors for us as well. So thank you, Tony.
And thank you to everyone at SHU, Sheffield Hallam University, particularly Helen Lowes, who really let us behind the scenes to see and be involved in what was, I thought, a fantastic, well-run and brilliant conference at Sheffield Hallam. And we look forward to being at the second one next year.
Yeah. How was it being a roving reporter, Craig?
It was nerve-wracking. Yeah. You know, walking around with a giant foam ball at the end of my iPhone, people were running away.
Bit suspicious. Yeah, absolutely. With your black t-shirt on as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, from the sounds of it, we really did have a good time there. And of course, we've got great Twitter feed. I think we took hold of the hashtag for the day.
Absolutely.
And they've thanked us for that. And if you do want to hear the episode again, you're very welcome to. You can go through the hashtag and hear about the whole conference and some of the great stuff that we as ODP should be celebrating. Angela McPhee, she's been a great listener for us, isn't she? And thank you for her for integrating. She obviously was on the episode a couple of episodes ago, but ever since has been a big champion for us. So, well, lots of great people out there helping us. At this point of recording, we've just got over 700 downloads. That's great. It's a celebration, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
That's really good.
Yeah. And thank you to my mum and Justin's for 500 of those. You know, it's always good to have it on repeat.
Yeah. I mean, we've got people from United States and New Zealand, Australia, Canada, Indonesia, Portugal. We're a truly international.
We are an international brand. It's good to hear. And a special thank you to our biggest listeners, Liam Bass, obviously of Peroptive App on the Go. Please have a look on the App Store and download that. Still a fantastic app, and they've got some updates coming through that we'll probably be able to tell you about in a future episode.
Yeah, Jennifer Trafford, she's again one of our biggest listeners. Thank you very much. We've not heard from you other than the fact that you do listen to us a lot, so it's great to hear that you're listening from us, but get in contact with us. Connect with Twitter, drop us a message on Facebook or email, and let's hear from you. Tell us what you think about it.
And to round out the top three, I've got to say a big thank you to user 4545387937.
What a name.
Yeah.
What
you
a
know,
name.
That is a mouthful. That
How
is
would
a
you fit that on an NHS pad?
I don't know how you'd say that in a team brief.
Obviously, our data analysis captures you guys listening to us, and so that's fantastic. And obviously, at one point, someone didn't put their name into SoundCloud, I think. But it's fantastic. And welcome if you are a new listener. We're very aware that our listeners, every single time the episode gets launched, goes up and up and up. And we're really pleased to welcome you. If you want to know what Pipcast is all about, rewind to episode one and find out what Pipcast actually stands for. Because we're not going to give any spoilers now. You've got to go back to episode one and listen.
Yeah, absolutely. People still ask me about the what is the PIP stand for? What does the PIP stand for in Pipcast?
We're just fans of fruit.
Yeah, we love it. Talking about Sheffield Hallam University, some of those students were second years, some were third years. They've graduated, or they're about to graduate, or they've passed their exam. So,
wow!
Big congratulations to all the newly qualified ODPs who are having a well-deserved break for the next couple of weeks or months, just before they start their new jobs.
I look forward to going to the HCPC website and seeing that just over 13,000 registered ODPs to go up just a little bit more.
Absolutely.
So hopefully you all have a lovely, great job, and well done. Congratulations, worked really hard. I hope you're partying hard as well. And welcome to the real world now. Yeah. Welcome to the world of being an ODP.
Don't forget to spread Pipcast throughout your brand new departments. I'm sure they'll really appreciate you for that. If you would like to tell your department about Pipcast, we have a poster.
Yeah, so we're going to upload a poster for you guys, because ultimately we're only as good as what we can do on our social media and basically tell our mums to tell the coffee mornings that we're doing really well.
Yeah.
So we've got a nice army of listeners now, which are you guys listening to us into your lovely earlobes. Ultimately, we need you, if you can, to reach out to your fellow workmates and promote us. Introduce them to podcasting if they've never done that before, and there's multiple platforms for multiple different types of phones and devices, including in cars. You can get podcast developed apps within there. But there'll be a poster available for you to download on Facebook and Twitter that will be through a Dropbox service, I believe. We're just trying to iron out those corners to make sure that it's easily available to download. But it'd be a poster for you to print at work, stick it in the coffee room, and just promote Pipcast. Get people involved, because we want to reach out to everybody that's involved in the operator department world, championing ODPs and everyone that works together to make the patient's experience better.
So how are we going to top off our last two episodes, which were from fantastic conferences, ODP, the Sheffield Hallam University Conference, and the SMAC Conference, the International Critical Care Conference? Well, I think we'd have to go for one of the big guns.
Yeah, so we've decided to reach out to one of the biggest organisations that are out there that champion us working together in a perioperative practice environment called AFPP. And so we reached out to AFPP and asked, we'd really like to talk to you to find out what AFPP stands for and what it's all about, especially if you've just joined us as an ODP and you didn't get a student membership and you're looking for a way to up your CBT, put the CBD points, and looking for journals of interest that you don't have to pay for, because once you're a member, it all comes free.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd talk to them, and we got Dawn Stott on with us to talk to us about her role as the chief exec of AFPP and what AFPP is all about.
This is Pipcast.
So welcome back. And as you guys know, on Pipcast, we do like to reach out to organisations and people that are kind of living in our world of the operating department, from the AFPP to CODP and other organisations that provide support to us. And today we're really lucky to have AFPP with us. We've got Dawn Stott with us. How are you, Dawn?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us with us today on Pipcast. And the plan is we're going to have a conversation about what AFPP is all about. But before we start, Dawn, let us know, what's your position within the organisation?
Well, hi, and thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. I'm Dawn Stott. I'm the Chief Executive of AFPP. I've been with the organisation for around 8 years now. And we were established as a not-for-profit organisation in around 2005. We used to be the National Association for Theatre Nurses, but as things changed within the operating departments, we decided to become more inclusive, and we changed our processes and systems to include the wider perioperative team. Like I say, we're a not-for-profit organisation, and we act as a professional body, so setting standards, supporting practitioners in ways that we can make them better at being professional practitioners, really. We were founded in 1964 by Daisy Ayres, who I always say, when I'm sort of describing her as part of our association, had she been born in the 21st century, she probably would have started Facebook or Twitter or something similar, because she was so forward-thinking.
Wow.
Around networking and sharing best practice.
Good. Well, that sounds fantastic, and it sounds like an amazing organisation to be in such a responsible position. So how does the structure of AFPP work? So you're the chief exec?
The structure of the organisation is such that because we're a not-for-profit and a charity, we don't have a board of directors, we have a board of trustees.
Okay.
And our trustees have to be members of our association to be on our board, and they have to be voted in by our membership. So they bring the perioperative knowledge to our HQ team, really. We also have non-elected trustees, so people who have got perioperative background or an interest in perioperative care. We currently have Ros Moore, who is the immediate past Chief Nursing Officer from Scotland.
Okay.
on our board as a non-elected, and we have a lady called Kat Topley who provides that industry knowledge, so she's from 3M, and then Brian Smith, who has been a long-standing member of our association, and he used to edit our journal, and he's hugely involved with perioperative education. Our board consists of our president, who does a two-year tenure. And then we have a vice president who is voted in by our board, and they then take over the presidency as the current president steps down. And then our board is made up, like I say, of our core membership. So we currently have two ODPs on our board, nurses, and we try and get that mix of education and people still working in practice, people who have moved into different areas of support within the perioperative environment, not necessarily hands-on. So we try and have that eclectic mix of people who bring the right skills and knowledge to the board. But then what I do is guide and advise from a professional point of view, a corporate point of view, what's the best way for us to move forward and support them in setting the strategy, really, for the organisation.
Well, that's really good to hear.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So obviously you've got quite a wide remit in terms of the things that you do and can advise on, publish standards on. What can ODPs get out of the AFPP in terms of that? We've got two on your board, so obviously it must be good for us to invest our time with AFPP. But what specifically is good for ODPs within the organisation?
I don't think there's a specific sort of this is good for nurses, this is good for ODPs. Our education, our learning is all sort of very relevant to all people working within the perioperative environment. We try and think of it as one core team. So our continuous professional development, our education, our online learning, it's relevant to the whole of the perioperative profession, really. So I wouldn't like to sort of say this is good for ODPs and this is good for nurses, because we like to think of our organisation as an all-encompassing professional body, really.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear.
It's really good to hear.
I mean, one of the things we got from the Sheffield Hanum University, and I think it's a message that lots of the ODPs and theatre nurses alike are confused by when they kind of scratch the surface of social media and the websites. There is AFPP in one corner, and then there's another organisation called CODP. I mean, do you guys work together? How does all that work?
We try and collaborate. That one of the biggest things for me is collaboration. You can get a much louder voice if you work with other like-minded organisations. And CODP have been going quite a long time, as we have. We have the Perioperative Care Collaborative, and the CODP sit as part of that collaboration, as so do we. So do the Royal College of Nursing, and we have representation on there from the British Anaesthetic and Recovery Nurse Association. We have people from universities. So we're getting that, again, that eclectic mix of people who bring the knowledge to that collaboration. So the piece of work we're doing at the moment is about advanced practice in theatres. Okay. and what that should look like and setting the standard for that. We also collaborate on the One Together project, which is a collaboration of organisations very similar to the PCC. So CODP sit on that. We're one of the founding partners, as are they, and the Royal College of Nursing Theatre body. And so there's various different ways where we touch points for us with CODP.
Yeah.
And they've just developed a new curriculum for ODPs, and we've been involved in that review process of that curriculum. So they're reaching out to us as we reach out to them for different things.
Well, that's really good to hear. Yeah. It's nice to see that you're all working together.
Absolutely. I think I saw the leaflet for the One Together conference in the latest Perioperative Practice Journal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's, I mean, that collaboration has grown in strength over the last sort of 3 years, and that's where an industry partner has come up with an idea and then brought founding partners into it to make it work. And it's that knowledge and skill, you can't have it from just one organisation. You have to work as, you know, to bring that full viewpoint, really, to anything that you do like that.
Which is true to life, isn't it? When I'm sitting in my operating theatre, it isn't just a room full of ODPs, it isn't just a room of theatre nurses. There's a whole multitude of perioperative practitioners within the room that are all working together. So it seems absolutely sensible on a national arena that you guys are working together as we would if we were working and supporting a patient. Now, you mentioned the National Association of Theatre Nurses. That was a kind of a name that you had previous. You've clearly gone through a change. What are those? Yeah. How have those changes helped you?
How have they helped us as an organisation?
Yeah.
I think I'd like to look at it a different way. It's what we've been able to do to help the whole team, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And I wasn't around when they made those changes. Obviously, I took over the chief executive post in about 2000, and I can't remember when I started working there. It's 8 years ago.
Okay.
And they'd already gone through that transitional change. And I think it was about wanting to support the whole team. And for me, as the chief executive now, we've gone through some really difficult times because of the marketplace and the way the marketplace has changed. So what it's done to, for me, having that approach where we're an all-inclusive organisation, has given us that rounded viewpoint, so that full 180-degree viewpoint from all the different practitioners in that environment. But it's made me start to think, well, actually, where do we need to go for the future? It's not standing still, isn't perioperative care? So we need to be reviewing and looking and strategising, if there is such a word, for how we can support, you know, all the perioperative practitioners as we go forward into the next sort of millennium, I suppose.
Yeah, no, that does make sense.
Absolutely. Touching on that, we have mentioned the journal already.
Yeah.
The journal's obviously got lots of articles from various different professions. How has that been going in terms of its evolution, and where do you see that going? And do you have articles coming from all sides of theatre, both ODPs, nurses, maybe even nursing assistants?
Yeah, we do. We try and encourage everybody who works in theatres to write for us. From a first-year student who might have done a fantastic thesis within their sort of learning and education, to put it into an article so it can support other people, help other people with their learning. So we have a cross-section of people who write for us, and we're constantly looking for new and upcoming writers. We have, it's called the David Piddock Award, that we give to a first-time published person in the journal, so to encourage people to take that step. People don't think they can write,
yeah.
And it's very hard to encourage people to put their ideas and thoughts onto paper. But most of us can write if we really put our minds to it, and it's a great way of sharing knowledge and expertise, isn't it, through an article in the journal or a viewpoint. I mean, I'm not a clinician, I don't come from a clinical, but I did train to be a nurse, but realised very early on that it wasn't going to be the job role that I wanted.
Okay.
However, I absolutely love healthcare, and it is my passion, is patient safety and things like that. So we try and encourage everybody to write for the journal so that we get that all-round viewpoint, that holistic approach to care, so the human factors and all those types of things that are very important in the theatre environment.
That's definitely what you see. There's a great, like you said, a great cross-section of subjects and articles that are in there, from everyday practice to mentoring. It's something I picked up, and we kind of promote the magazine on Pipcast because it is one of those sort of repositories of knowledge that we've got as ODPs and the theatre nurses.
It's certainly a great go-to resource that, you know, very conveniently lands on our doorstep, and we can easily relate to it really well and spend a bit of time of an evening going through it or in the coffee room. And like Craig said, we do try and pick out some really good articles that have featured in the journals between each recording to mention on the Pipcast.
Yeah.
So it's just incredibly convenient. Now, so imagine I am a listener and I'm not a member of AFPP. I mean, how does that happen? I don't know. But there are a lot of people out there that haven't joined you guys. So how do I go about it? How much will it cost me? And what do I get for my membership?
The easiest way to join the association is online. So via our website, it shows you the member benefits, who can join, why you should join, what your subscription fees are going to be and everything. So there's a really easy mechanism on the website to be able to join the association. We also have link members working out there in the hospital. So we encourage somebody who is a staunch follower of AFPP and has been a member of our association for a long time, we encourage them to network with colleagues and sign them up, really. And, you know, they gain points, and then they get little rewards as a thank you for encouraging people to join the association. We have some very good rates for students, so a very heavily discounted rate for student members, because we want to encourage students to become part of the association with a view to when they register or become a registered practitioner, you know, continuing that membership because they've found it invaluable. Our registered membership is £105 a year, which is £8.75 a month, so it's not a huge cost compared to some professional organisations.
And one thing we do regularly do on Pipcast, we compare that price to cups of coffee, because we are big Costa drinkers, and to be honest, that is not much at all, really, is
no,
it?
No, two to three. So your average week worth of Costa.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
And we do have a non-registered member rate as well, because, again, a lot of the education we do is supportive of the healthcare support workers in theatres and those people who aren't registered practitioners but still need that ongoing development.
That's fantastic.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, so I'm aware you guys provide indemnity insurance for when I become a member. Yeah. How does that all fit into my membership?
We don't provide it. Okay. It is it's an add-on to your membership. So you don't get that as exclusivity when you join the association. You don't automatically get membership, you know, in indemnity insurance. You have to apply for that, and we have a provision through an insurance provider that and again we have a portal on our website that you have to go through to get that insurance, and it is an indemnity insurance that is aimed at perioperative practitioners, so it's very heavily subsidized. It's a very good sort of insurance rate, and it's very much for our industry practitioners, professionals.
Something to take advantage of as part of your membership, the ability to have this, because obviously non-members can't get access to that. For those members who are perhaps members of the AFPP but haven't necessarily done anything with their membership apart from maybe indemnity insurance, how can they get involved either locally, if they've got is there an AFPP officer that they go to, or regional groups that they can sort of be a part of in order to get involved with the organisation itself?
Yeah, there is. We try and encourage that through sort of raising awareness of the association, getting people to network. We talked about our trustees earlier, and when we're going out to election for new trustees, we'd like to see that who we're electing onto our board have been active volunteers for the association, so maybe being a regional lead or a link member or part of our specialist interest group forums and things like that. Really, if they want to get more involved, it would be a case of contacting our membership team at HQ. Our website has a contact us page, and it's got all the different email addresses. So if they wanted to contact me, there's a chief executive email address that they can send me an email and ask, you know, how can I get involved? What can I do? And to be fair, we don't struggle for volunteers, but it's a huge ask of people who work full time, maybe working shifts, to then get involved with an organisation. But actually, most people who get involved with us find it so rewarding that they encourage other people to support us as well. So it's really about just contacting us at HQ if they want to become more involved with AFPP, and they can do that through our regional teams, our specialist interest groups, writing for the journal. That opens up so many sort of opportunities and avenues for people.
Well, it sounds incredibly exciting, and it's you get a lot for your money from the sounds of it, from the journal to the access to the indemnity. I mean, I know online there's a massive amount of resource available to you once you become a member. And of course, it doesn't just finish there. You can get involved in your regional groups as well, which is great. And I think we're all aware that we get to see the posters in our coffee rooms about the regional study days and your national study days that are coming up. And it's incredibly great, which is fantastic. So do you have any big study days coming up that you would like to promote?
Yeah, we have our residential coming up in August, which for the last 3 years we've held that at York University. I don't know if you remember if your membership goes back as far as when we used to have a conference and a congress and a huge exhibition. We had to change that because it wasn't viable for the organisation anymore. And we came up with the idea of having a value for money event, annual event, that people could come and just network, but also let their hair down and have a bit of fun as perioperative practitioners. I suggested having a summer school type thing, but just over a weekend. So we engaged with York University, and we run a residential over 3 days at the university, which is part enjoyment, but it's also some really interesting speakers and workshops and things like that.
That sounds fantastic, and I think we all like a bit of a jolly. We all like to go away for the weekend, and if we're able to learn something as we're going along as well, counts towards the CPD points, and just generally network. And I know, you know, part of Pipcast is to bring those people together, and the plan is to do reaching out to conferences and events that people are attending, so we can bring it to the Pipcast, and for the people who don't go, at least they can benefit from some of the positivity from that as well.
The residential event has grown from around, I think it was about 125 people in the first year when we held it, and we're expecting over 300 delegates this year.
Wow.
And what we've tried to do is make it good value for money for our sponsors as well. Many of the things we do, we need that industry partner sponsorship. And we've got 45 exhibiting companies this year, and so it's without them we couldn't do it.
Yep.
But what we've done is make it affordable, but they get involved in the engagement outside of the learning and the exhibition. They come to all the social events and things like that, so you can network in a much more relaxed environment, and it just works.
It's
amazing.
Good.
The feedback we get is absolutely fantastic.
And it's in their interest, isn't it, as companies, to be involved with you guys, because you have such influence over the way that we work with your standards and with your evolving practice, that we all work together in a more collaborative way.
This is Kickbox.
Now, Dawn, throughout the day, we put on Twitter to tell everyone that we were interviewing you tonight, and we invited people to throw us some questions that we felt that you might want to hear. There's been a few responses, nothing to catch you out, but Craig has got one that he'd certainly like to ask you to see what AFPP's position is.
Yeah, so at the SHU conference, we were given a statistic by Hannah Abbott that we had 11 million operations between April and January, and there were 351 never events, which is actually quite a small number. I think it's lower than the predicted never event rate. But Tony Jeremy, one of our correspondents, has been on. He asked what kind of national strategies are being considered to reduce the amount of surgical never events in the UK from you guys or in the collaborations you're having with people like One Together or the CODP.
We work with quite a lot of on a lot of different boards or collaborations. Collaborations isn't the right word, but like NHS England, we worked very closely with them when they were writing the NATSIPs, the National Standards for Safety Within Theatres. So we were part of the writing group for that, and now we're they're coming to our event in York to talk about the next phase of those NATSIPs, so how we can localise them to become more effective within the local environment of the different hospitals across the country. We're working with NHS England again on the advanced surgical roles. We've worked with NHS England on the prescribing forum. So everything we get involved with has to have a patient safety element at the end of it. So we wouldn't be involved in anything that didn't involve patient safety. As far as the national sort of never event statistics, a lot of the education we provide is around why the WHO checklist is important, why human factors is important. And generally speaking, if you do a root cause analysis on a never event, it's generally because that interaction has broken down from a human point of view. So a lot of the learning and education we've developed is in support of never events. Another way we're working, and this was a sort of a diversification of the association when we were met with difficult times over the last, sort of, well, 6 years ago when I took over as chief executive, because I didn't come to the association as a chief executive. We realised that we had to diversify, and what we've done is develop our limited company, because we're limited by liability through our limited company. So we've developed our limited company to support a more wider approach to education, so whole team training. We audit theatres. We go in and provide an accreditation for process for them to walk through an audit process with trained consultants, AFPP consultants, who then support them through achieving the AFPP seal of approval, basically, which is becoming more and more recognised with the CQC. That's all about making people see that they take safety seriously because they're using us. We've got that unique ability to be able to do to carry out this role because of our longevity of life, really, as an organisation, but also we do set the standards.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to, you know, if you look at health hygiene and when you go to restaurants and stuff, you've got a 5-star rating. If you volunteer and you get this AFPP accreditation, you know that that department or theatre is of a high standard by the very definition of your standards that you set. So that would be quite advantageous for any theatre to get. How would they arrange that kind of visit or process to take place?
I sort of field those calls and talk through the process with people. So again, they can go on our website. There's a corporate tab on there which talks about accreditation, advertising, corporate membership, and different opportunities for our corporate partners to be able to be part of what we do as an organisation. That is through our corporate arm. So that raises money to support the charitable objectives. So we can do anything through our limited company, as long as it's legal, obviously, to raise funds to support our charitable requirement to support safer surgery through education and CPD and publications and things like that. But most of our income is derived from our membership fee. So, but it just helps when we run our York residential, we subsidise that for our members. So that's our way of putting back in. It's our not-for-profit way of putting some of our reserves back into patient safety and support for our members.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. Well, Dawn, you've got a massive job there and a huge organisation that is constantly driving forward standards and change and evolving the way that we work. And it must be a fantastic job. What's the future for AFPP? So let's kind of fast forward a couple of years. Where do you see the organisation being placed in the current format?
I don't think our format will change much. Okay. There'll be things that we do to future-proof ourselves, maybe online ways of delivering education, so webinars. We do have online learning, but I'm very keen to start some webinar-style education so that we can reach those people who can't make it to the residential. They can't afford to come to the residential,
yeah.
Or they can't get time off. I mean, there's a lot of barriers at the moment within the perioperative environment for our core membership around time out of the, you'll know as working in the environment,
yeah.
You know, that you're in, that it's difficult to get time off to study. It's difficult to, you know, get sponsorship for things that you want to do. So I think we'll be looking at more affordable, less time-consuming ways of delivering education.
Okay.
We might. I don't think we'll change our journal very much because it is our flagship membership benefit.
Yeah.
And if we change that in any way, I think we'd have probably a revolution. So we need to make sure that remains very focused on perioperative care and keeps the same format that it has at the moment. We're looking at trying to work collaboratively with other organisations to look at what the future of theatres is going to be like, because that will be our driver for how we deliver education, what our education needs to look like as an organisation. If things change dramatically in theatres, or theatre care is taken away from hospitals and is more community based, how do we support that as a professional body for setting standards for perioperative care? So we're constantly reviewing our strategy and looking at ways of support, that ongoing support for members. I think in the next couple of years, that's where our focus is going to be. What's the future of theatres? And how can we support practitioners who are working in those theatres of the future, really?
That must be very difficult. You're kind of second-guessing technology and where it might go in terms of healthcare and things like that. That I do not envy your job in that terms at all. But thank you very much for doing that job.
Well, our residential this year, the title for the event is The Changing Face of Theatre. Is this an evolution or a revolution?
Mm, yeah.
And I think that's very much about where we should be looking. We need to be looking 5 years ahead.
Yeah.
But who's got a crystal ball? Who's going to tell us how we're going to deliver care? But it's also about the technologies that are available to support the care and support the interventions that go on within theatres.
Yeah.
You know, robotic surgery and things like that are coming on in leaps and bounds. And if we can provide robotic surgery training, then we're sort of in the right area. I'm not saying that that's something that we're planning on doing, but you know what I mean. I'm just using it as an example.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't hold me to it.
I think one thing that Craig and I are hugely confident about is that year on year on year, there's always something new. There's always some change. I mean, we're both still pinching ourselves that ODPs are now officially recognised as AHPs. And that is hugely revolutionising the way that we can now move forward as professionals. And it's nice to feel that we're part of that. And it's nice that AFPP are a part of that journey as well. And, you know, in the time that I've been qualified, I've seen some really big key moments for ODPs and theatre nurses that have changed the way that we do things. And it's great that probably at the centre of that, there's been organisations like yourself that is AFPP. So, yeah. Dawn, yeah. Thank you very much for spending the time talking to us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you for taking the time. So how does our listeners kind of find out about AFPP? Have you got a website? Can we email you direct? How do we get in contact with you?
Our website is www.afpp.org.uk.
Okay.
And once you hit the website, you'll hit the home page, and everything on that is sort of identified on that home page. So the contact us tab has every email address, and you can just click on the contact us button and it'll take you straight through to an email page where you can just, you know, drop us a short email and we'll get back to you.
Fantastic. We will obviously, as always, Pipcast listeners, we will put the link into the description of this episode, so feel free to click on the link there if you cannot be bothered to type that out yourself.
Right.
So, Dawn, thank you once again for joining us this evening, and we'll be in touch again when we want to talk about some more AFPP issues.
That's fantastic. Thank you for having me again. I've really enjoyed it, and I hope people find it useful.
Thank you.
That was Dawn, who gave a brilliant interview, I thought. I have to thank her very much for coming on the show and agreeing to. She's obviously very busy. You can hear from the interview she's got a lot on her plate.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly after hours, so above and beyond the call of duty. She was clearly hanging around her office to be able to talk to us. But it was a really nice interview, do you know? I mean, she's a non-clinical person, but is absolutely passionate about what we do in our workplace. But didn't come across as this corporate face. She felt very genuine.
Yeah. The thing I really liked was this talk about collaboration.
Yeah.
Now, it's definitely before my time, the NATN, the National Association of Theatre Nurses, but it's very much evident that they have gone away from that now. And there is still chat about, you know, nurses versus ODPs, but actually, as Dawn said in that interview, we're one team.
Yeah.
And actually, if there are any theatre nurses listening to this show, you are more than welcome as part of the Pipcast family.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to hear that as a real driving force of change in the AFPP, that ODPs are being included and other allied health professionals as well as non-registered professionals.
Yeah, it's really good. I think, you know, as ODPs and as theatre nurses, we've got to appreciate and celebrate and acknowledge we've got history. We've got stuff. We've evolved as people that just move lights and we're just technicians to where we are now as allied healthcare professionals. I'm still pinching myself with that concept. But, I mean, we've got to understand we've got a history, but I think we've moved on. I think the days of theatre nurses being very separate in their ethos to ODPs and we were a second-rate professional, I think those days, I think we need to move on from that.
Yeah.
And there's a genuine feel that that is the case. I mean, there are some pockets, and I'm very aware of that, but that's what we're doing. We're trying to promote that we can all work together. Obviously, we're championing ODPs, but it is about all working together because it is all about that patient and making that service better. It was great to hear that AFPP have got a future and they've got plans, and the collaboration with organisations that represent us, like the college and other organisations, including us. I mean, they've clearly showed an interest in what we're doing, and that's quite an honour and a success story in its own right. And so we still also want to plan in supporting them in championing the productive, effective ODP. In an independent fashion. We're not going to get in there with AFPP, but we're certainly definitely going to be working with them.
And as you heard, if you are part of the AFPP or want to join it, you can get involved. There are regional groups. You know, look out your regional officer. If you've got an idea of something you want to get involved in, you can contact the AFPP. Or if you heard or saw the tweets about Hannah Abbott's talk from the CODP, they would love to hear from you as well in terms of ODPs getting involved in developing practice in the future. What I really found interesting was, you know, robotic surgery or community theatres.
Wow. Imagine that.
Yeah.
What is the future? But I guess we never know. But once again, thank you, Dawn. And like Craig said, we will integrate the links to get in contact and find out more about AFPP in our show notes.
On the subject of future theatres, if you'd like to give us your wackiest interpretation of what theatres might be like in the future, just tweet us or send us a message on Facebook or email us with the hashtag Future Theatre. So that's it from another episode of Pipcast, and I don't know how we're going to top that one.
It's amazing. It's nice to have a celebrity of a massive organisation that represents us on our show, and it's nice to feel that they're kind of getting involved with Pipcast. It's really good.
Of course, we're not just here to talk to the bigwigs in organisations. We would love to talk to you, the regular ODPs or advanced practitioners that used to be ODPs that are out there. We would love to hear you about your job role, what you do, how you came to it from an ODP background, because that's something that our listeners have always asked, is they would love to be an ED practitioner, they would love to be an advanced care practitioner, an SCP, or a physician's assistant in anaesthetics. But how do you go from that from the role of an ODP? We would love to hear from you, and in order for that to happen, you can contact us.
Yeah, absolutely. And predominantly, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, no one wants to listen to my job, we do. All our listeners are really hungry for information. So whatever you do that you feel that's really good to promote, then please get in contact with us. We've got a multitude of ways that you can contact us. First one is Twitter, and we're available at ODP Pipcast. You can search for us at Pipcast on Facebook. You're guaranteed to find us. We are the only one about there, so you can find us there. And of course, you can drop us an email at odppipcast@gmail.com, and you can use that same address to leave us a voicemail on Skype if you want to talk to us rather than put your fingers to the buttons on your phone.
As a part of Pipcast, we're looking to promote education for ODPs. If you've got a bit of knowledge you want to share with the ODPs that you've learned from your practice, or a new article or something you've read, use the hashtag ODP Ed.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. We're trying to get ODPs out there on the hashtag, so it's really good. And again, if you've got any projects that are empowering your team, celebrating success, or driving forward the name that is ODP, we want to hear from you, because it's an opportunity to celebrate what you're doing, but there might be something in there that someone could take away and do within their practice and within their work environment. So please, we want to hear from you. This is a great soundboard to promote what you do as an ODP within the operating theatre world.
We will be back in a couple of weeks with the 7th episode. We are now catching up with Star Wars. We're catching up. We're episode 7. We might get 8 out before the next Star Wars is out.
And then do we start again? I can't remember how.
I can't remember. We might have to do a prequel episode.
And then we've got to work out how we listen to in what order. But listeners, please, one final request. Please like, rate, share, make everybody know about Pipcast, because we need your help. We can only do so much. It's down to you guys, our little army of Pipcast fans, to promote this resource that's so useful. It's free. And all it involves is going onto your phone and downloading the audio file.
Absolutely. The poster link will be in the description of this podcast, the one we mentioned earlier, as well as all the links that we've talked about in this episode. So from me, I guess it's a goodbye.
Yes, and from me, thank you, Greg.
Pipcast.